Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
Hope you guys had a great weekend, but now it's time to get back to work on Monday, right? So let's talk about a few things, right? We want to talk about Riot. We want to talk about maybe some healthcare stocks. We want to talk about some areas that we can make some money. We want to talk about some ways that, you know, we may not be able to make some money. We want to talk about some ways that we can use debt. We can leverage debt to make more money in the stock market and outside the stock market. We're going to talk about Mara. We're going to talk about Riot. We're going to talk about Bitcoin because it's done a pretty big jump this weekend, is exactly what I expected, right? This is what I expected, right? And a lot of people, I put up that, you guys know, I put up my trades, right? And I put my trades up because I want people. I want people to use that as educational, right? And they see how I work, see how I think, and I want you to move forward and think just like that, right? I want you guys to be able to, think like me at first and branch off on your own and learn more. That's what I want you to do, right? I don't want you to follow me forever, right? I don't want you guys to follow me. I want you guys to learn on your own and learn, how to do things better, right? So this is what I want, right? But some of you guys do copy my trades, which is okay. I'm not telling you can or not, but that's okay. So I put out one on Thursday, right? I put out a Riot call, right? I paid 90 cents for it. It was that, a $10 call or whatever. And then I put it out there, right? Everybody was okay at first, right? And you got to remember, when you buy stocks at a certain time, when you buy stocks and options in a certain way like that, and you're expecting a bounce back, you can't expect to get it at the absolute bottom. More times than not, it's going to continue to lose value after you bought it. You have to expect that, right? And we always talk about that emotional connection with money, right? So I put that out there. I said, look, man, Riot's doing good. I'm going to put it out there, right? The next day, Friday, everybody went crazy. I got 1,000 messages because we were down like 50%, right? People were threats. They're going to do this to me. These people went crazy, man. Completely nuts on Friday, right? And I put up a post and said, look, man, that's crazy. I mean, like you can't expect every single play to go straight up. That's impossible, But people went crazy, man, right? But now, and I said it before. I said, look, man, I'm buying this on the expectation of what's called the weekend pump in Bitcoin. I've been in Bitcoin for how long? 10 years now. Let's see, 9 years now? 9 years. I've seen this pattern over and over and over again, right? And this is what's important. This is why you guys got to know. This is why it's important to have somebody who's seen this time and time and time again, right? That's why all these people coming out to my Bitcoin. I've seen one of a major influencer or whatever. He come out, first time ever, talking about Bitcoin. Never said anything about it before, right? And some of you guys follow, listen, whatever. Yes, okay to listen, but you got to understand that these people haven't seen these cycles. They don't understand it on that level, right? You got to be careful. You got to be careful who you follow, right? Because somebody just start talking about something, that doesn't mean, they don't know it. They haven't been through the cycles yet. I've seen this since 2013, 2012. I've seen it over and over and over. So I know what's coming over the weekend, right? That's why I bought it. Everybody else didn't know, so everybody panicked, right? But I knew a weekend pump was coming. Whenever Bitcoin is stagnant like it was, and normally on the weekend is when you're going to see a major bump. I've seen it time and time again. And actually, to be honest, we've done this same play 2 weeks ago. The same exact play. Now, it was 3 weeks ago with Riot. The same play, right? We bought it early. The weekend, remember we was talking about it was going to gap up and we were going to play it throughout the day. It's the same exact thing, except it's happening again. That's why it's important to understand patterns, and not only in trading, but in life in general, because patterns happen all around us over and over and over again. That's why being able to stand back and analyze everything that happened is so important, because when you analyze things, when you break it down, whether it's good or bad, if it turned out good, turned out bad, it don't matter. You analyze it, figure out what you could have done different, what could have turned out better. And now when that pattern comes around again, it's the same thing, right? So now you're able to execute without thinking, execute without emotion, right? That's what this is about. And a lot of you guys forget what happened 3 weeks ago, right? Just completely forget about it. And you know why you don't see the patterns? Because you're following people without doing your own research. You're following people without doing your own planning, without doing your own learning, without doing your own education. That's exactly what's happening. That's the reason why you can't see the patterns. That's why I encourage you guys to learn your own, because one day I may not be here. One day I may decide, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to do my tech company. I may decide, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to retire anything. I may not be here no more. You know, so then you guys have to learn on your own. That's why I encourage you people. Another, like I told you, in my mentorship program, right? Somebody called me today. Yesterday, and it's, hey, Armando, I've been in your program for 3 months. I think I've learned as much as I can from you. I'm ready to move on. I'm going to cancel, right? I'm okay with that. That's the goal, I told him. I'm happy for you. Congratulations, man. You've graduated. Move on, you know. You don't need me no more, right? But that's the goal here. But let's talk a little bit more about Riot. We're going to talk about Airbnb because, you know, I think I've changed my mind on Airbnb, right? And we're going to break down why I've changed my mind on Airbnb, right? And then we're going to talk about Novamax, because that's another one I think I may have changed my mind on, right? And that's what's the important thing about this is that my mind is fluid, right? And a lot of people, they make these decisions and then they just stick to them, right? Because they don't want to be wrong. My mind is fluid. I'll go back, go forward, whatever it takes to make money. I'll change my mind. Somebody comes to me and explains something to me in a certain way, my mind will change, right? That's the way you have to keep your mind fluid. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. So Peloton is another one, right? I didn't get death threats over Peloton though, but Peloton was another thing I've been talking about. Now it's going to be added to the S&P 500, it's the NASDAQ 100, right? That's another thing that I've been telling you guys about. And people, you got to be patient with these things. Because nobody is exactly right on the timing, right? Nobody's exactly right on the timing. You have to understand that you may be stagnant for a while. You may lose money for a while. You got to understand that these choices we make, you're not going to be exactly right on the time. Peloton, we talked about 3 months ago, but now it's coming to fruition. Exactly what we said was going to happen, right? But you have to be patient. You can't panic and go crazy or whatever. It doesn't work like that. Your emotions are still connected to that money. That's the only reason why that happened. People panic. This is actually the worst panic I've ever seen on my stocks. I only made, in the last 3 or 4 months, I made 3 mistakes. I'm not saying mistakes, but let's say I picked 3 stocks that didn't turn out right, right? In the last 3 or 4 months, and I've probably done 30, 40 picks you guys have seen, right? But on those 3, people go completely crazy, right? And that's because they're not doing their own due diligence. They're emotionally connected to the money, and they're not doing their own guidance, right? But let's talk a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit more about Riot, right? We're talking about Mara and Riot, right? The reason why Riot dropped so much, right? And that's because if anybody that's been following me, anybody that's been paying attention, anybody that's been listening will understand why Riot dropped so much, right? And it's simple. It's simple. It's because Riot has an exaggerated correlation with Bitcoin. What does that mean? What is an exaggerated correlation? That means Bitcoin goes up 2%, it goes up 15%. Bitcoin drops 2%, it goes down 20%. You see what I'm saying? It's an exact, like Bitcoin may move a little bit, but Riot will move a lot in relation to it, right? That's how we were able to make 10 times our money a month ago, right? So you have to understand, and I always say this with risk management, you have to be able to understand that if you can make 10 times your money, you could also lose half of it. It's the same thing. You got to understand that. You have to understand that, right? So with Riot, what happened? Bitcoin dropped a little bit, you know, 8-9%. Well, Riot's going to drop 30%. That's how it works, right? But that's also a good time to buy if you believe in Bitcoin, right? I knew what was coming. We talked about in the CNC. We talked about in the mentorship program. We knew what was coming, right? So you buy it then. Now, like I said, the timing may not be, it's not going to be 100% right. I bought it on Thursday. It kept going down. My timing wasn't perfect. Nobody's is, right? Nobody's is. But people panicked that Friday, right? One day, one dude wrote me and said, he's tired of me posting garbage posts that don't have no fundamentals. He did like a paragraph, man. It just went off on me, right? And I'm saying, yeah, I did pick that based on a certain fundamentals, but, you know, I based it also on the expectation Bitcoin's going to go up over the weekend, and I knew the connection. I knew the correlation, right? But that Riot's going to do well in the morning, right? And it's going to be that same play we saw 3 weeks ago. It's the exact same, right? And what we're going to see, I'm going to tell you exactly how it's going to play out. And you know, I've said it before, and it played out exactly like I said. Now, if Bitcoin doesn't drop over to tonight, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. We wake up in the morning, Bitcoin could be way down. But if Bitcoin doesn't drop tonight, right? So what's going to happen? is that there's going to be a huge gap up in right? That means a lot of you won't even be able to get in. It'd be too late. That's why you got to do it early and be willing to take the loss, because once these things happen, it's too late. You can't get into it. So it's going to be a gap up. I don't know how much, but it's going to be a gap up. If you don't understand what a gap up is, what that is that when a stock does no trading over a certain period, and then, you know, the first time it trades, it's already up like 10, 15, 20%. So there was no trading in between. You couldn't have got it in between those two prices. So that's what's going to happen. That's exactly what's going to happen, right? We're going to wake up in the morning, it's going to be a gap up. Then we're going to see a slowly rise throughout the day, right? It may be a chance to do some momentum plays, right? So for those who you don't understand what a momentum play is, it's a very, very effective way to make money on stocks when stocks are going through this pattern, right? We got a class on Thursday. If you want that class, click the link in my bio, join. Like, says, I want to do a show here, right? So anybody that's made money on the momentum strategy, I want you to drop 3 money bags. Now, watch how many people do this, because this strategy is easy, effective, and it works in this market very well, right? So let's see the money bags. How many people have made money with that momentum strategy class? Let's wait. But that class is Thursday, right? It's almost full, right? Because I've never filled up a class before until last week. So all my classes have been full since last week. So this class is almost full. So if you want to join in, click the link in my bio, join that class. Mentorship people can retake it. Remember, Stephanie takes a lot of classes. She's one of my mentorship people. And also is going to be come on as an administrator in the Chestnut Checkers community and in the mentorship. And she takes a lot of classes. How she's gotten so good over the last 3 or 4 months. She retakes classes because I do my classes live. So you can retake them. You can, every class is different, right? Because I teach the class based on what the current market situation is. So I'll put in plays. I'll tell you about, you can use it here. You can use it there. You can do this. You can do that. I'll tell you what's happening right now. So a lot of people will take the class multiple times, right? Because some of them I'll give out plays. Like if I see a play, and we're in the class, of course I'm going to say it, right? Oh, man, you could do this tomorrow, make some money. But if I don't see one, I won't tell you that. Somebody asked a question, a mentor in a CNC. CNC is a Discord community where we chat and come up with plays all day, what we're going to do. The mentorship program is all my recorded classes, all my live classes. You get automatic access to everything for a monthly price. So if you want that, click the link in my bio. But let's continue to talk about, we talked about Riot, right? We talked about how Riot is going to, what's going to happen on Monday. Let's say it again for the people who are joining in. So what you're going to see in the morning is you're going to see a gap up, right? But hopefully what's more likely to happen. Now, we don't know what's going to happen. Nobody's psychic, but we can predict, we can talk about what's the most likely case to happen. Now, if Bitcoin holds its price tonight, if Bitcoin can hold its price, we're going to see a gap up in Riot, and we're going to see one in Mara, because they're both have an exaggerated correlation with Bitcoin. They both go up more as Bitcoin goes up. They go down hard when Bitcoin goes down. So if Bitcoin can stay up overnight, and that's an if, right? We don't know if it will or not, but it probably will. Mara's going to gap up. Riot's going to gap up. It's going to be a slow rise throughout the day. So that's a perfect opportunity to make some money on some intraday calls, right? That's a perfect opportunity to make. And like somebody just said, I like that, Bossy. He said, Riot is a symphony play, right? Because you can see those patterns. And if you're smart enough, if you understand enough, your mind is open enough, you can continue to make money on the same pattern over and over and over again. Right? That's why it's so important to recognize these patterns in trading. That's why it's so important to recognize these patterns in life. Because if you can recognize patterns in life, everything happens over and over and over again. And once you see, if something happens, this happens, and this happens, then that happens, right? So the next time you see the first two things happen, you know what's coming on the third time. It's important to analyze situations. It's important to step back and think, how could I have done this different? What happened before that? What were the steps that led up to this, this, and that? And then once you think of that, once you get in your mind, once you figure out what happened, the next time it happens, you're already there. Right. And I learned that from basketball. Right. I learned that in sports. People who have high IQs in sports see the patterns quicker than everybody else. That's the reason why they can steal the ball easy. That's why they can block shots. That's why they can see people make better passes, because they see the patterns unfolding. And we can use that in life. Life is nothing but patterns. If you can recognize those patterns, you can almost predict the future, right? And that's what we try to do, right? That's what we try to teach people in the mentorship program. That's what I teach them in the CNC, is that to recognize these patterns, to have the information to back it up, and to be able to execute once we see them, and keep your mind fluid, because nothing what's true tomorrow may not be true the next day, may not be true next year. So your mind has to be fluid and able to see these things happening as they unfold. Right. So Riot, like we said, is going to be a gap up, slow rise throughout the day. That may be an opportunity for some momentum plays. Right. And like I said, the class is on Thursday. If you want to take that class. Snow, I think snow is going to recover this week. Right. But that's something that I really don't, you know, that one, we'll see what happens. I'm pretty sure it's going to recover this week, but we'll see what happens. Right. I may take a loss on that. Right. But if I take a loss on that one, that'd be the first loss in 7 weeks, right? Now, I'm okay with that, right? So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You can't follow me 100%. You don't know if I'm going to be wrong on the next one. That's why I tell you guys, don't follow me blindly. You don't know what, if I'm, like, I may be right 15 times. The one you jump in, I may be wrong. So you got to be careful, man. Don't, you know, always approach me like maybe I'm wrong. Always approach what I'm talking about is maybe this dude is wrong. Let me back it up with information, because I could be wrong, right? So let's move on, right? So the next thing we want to talk about a little bit about is Airbnb. So Airbnb, right? So I've always said I didn't like that IPO. It could be a money grab. You know, I said that, and I said it for 3 months, and it went up 100% the first day, right? So, you know, and then I started saying, man, why'd this go up, man? So really be honest. That's why I'm saying you can't listen to everything I say, because I may have been wrong on Airbnb, right? And I'll admit it. Maybe I was wrong, right? So I looked at Airbnb as a money grab, because I've seen so many IPOs, but people who don't know what IPO is, it's an initial public offering. That's the first time that stocks are available for average people to buy, you know, on the stock market, right? But that's a chance for the owners in most cases to reduce risk and shift it to you. Right, because if I'm a company owner, right, let's say, for example, I own 100% of a company, right? Let's just put it like this in simple terms. It's more complex than this, but this is simple. Let's say I own Airbnb. I got Airbnb now, and I'm like, oh man, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. What if this whole site? What if people stop traveling? I got all this risk on me right now. That means how can I get it off of me? Well, I sell half my company to shareholders, take my money right now, and cash out. And now the risk is separated, right? So I got the risk. I still keep half the company. I make billions of dollars on IPO. And, you know, the risk is now on your side too. So that's what an IPO sometimes is for. So a lot of times I approach IPOs with that in mind, is the owner trying to reduce his risk, right? But in this case, you know, I thought that's what was happening. But then I thought, you know, after it went up and everything, and I've heard some people talking about it, a few of you guys actually sent me articles. And that's what's so powerful about the CNC community is that I do post what I trade. I do get in there and talk, but I get so much information from you guys. And that's something that I didn't expect, right? When I put that community together, I put it together because I was going to send my signals. And I figured a few people would be talking all day, but that community has turned into a very, very powerful tool, even for me, right? Because I look in there and I get ideas. People write me, people talk, people make, you know, people trade information. And I get information. I got information on Airbnb, right? So I'm looking at it and I'm like, man, you know, maybe Airbnb may be a good deal, because you got to remember, it's high. But think about this, right? And I thought about it. I read a few articles this weekend, and I was like, man, maybe Airbnb is not actually a bad deal, because think about it. Because I always said, what was my criteria for buying an IPO? I said, you have to be expecting growth. Because like Roblox, how much more is that going to grow? Now, I could be wrong on Roblox, but that's what I think. But one thing I didn't understand or didn't see is that we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? So Airbnb has probably bottomed out revenue and profit rise. So they go IPO when they're bottomed out in profit. So they're obviously going to grow out of this, right? I didn't think about that. So if they're going to grow, then maybe it would be a good time to buy some, just put it in my portfolio. So I may do that, right? I'm still not 100% on it. I'm still, you know, I like to research a little more, but I'm coming to the side of maybe add some Airbnb into my portfolio, right? And I still got to do some analysis. I got to look at what their profits were, all this stuff, their offering documents. I have to make sure I know what I'm doing, but I'm getting close to maybe buying some Airbnb stock, you know, even though I said it, you know, 3 months ago, I'd never buy it. Well, now I'm saying I will. And people say, oh, you being a hypocrite, oh, you changed your mind. No, no, that's not what I'm doing. My mind is fluid, right? That means that I change my mind depending on incoming information. I'm like a computer, man. I don't have emotion. I don't have any bias. I try not to. Whatever comes in, I change my mind based on that input. So if new information comes in, I'll change my mind and move forward. That's what I'm training you guys to do. That's what I'm training you guys to think. That's how I'm training you guys to be in life, is that make your mind like a computer, right? And, you know, I'm a computer. I studied computer science. I was an engineer for many, many years. So I kind of think, I try to make myself think like a computer, right? Is that computers don't have any emotions or anything like that. They, incoming information comes in and they change their opinions based on that information, right? It doesn't matter how much, the only thing I won't do that on is XRP or crypto. But other than that, everything else, my mind is fluid, right? It's all fluid. And that's what I'm trying to train you guys. This is what we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, right? So Airbnb may be a good pick. I don't know yet. I'm not 100% sure, but I may end up buying it. If I do, I'll put a signal out. I'll actually post it on my Instagram. If I buy some Airbnb, I'll post it on my Instagram and I'll put it in the CNC group so you guys will know at what price I bought it at and where, you know, what I'm, if I buy any calls, anything like that, where I'm buying the calls at and what the expiration date and the strike price is. If I buy some calls, I may not, because calls aren't, options aren't available for Airbnb yet. So it's going to take, you know, a couple of weeks or whatever before those options become available, right? So the last thing is Novamax, right? And Novamax is something I was against early too, but like I said, new information comes out. And one of the things that changed me, and this is because I understand how these institutions work. I understand market cycles. I understand how institutions will get into stocks and then push it up through their analysts and different news. They'll almost promote the stock, right? So JP Morgan is buying up a bunch of Novamax. They say they see an 80% upside on it, right? So I'm not 100% sure on Novamax, but I'll tell you this, right? Is that with Novamax, right? That's a pharmaceutical stock, right? But I'm be honest, my portfolio right now is heavily in tech, right? Because tech is something I understand. Tech has been doing very, very well this year. We made a lot of money with tech. But you got to remember, man, these industries that do very well for a period, that it never lasts. It never lasts. One day, this tech stuff is going to be over, right? So we have to start thinking, you know, a year ahead, 2 years, 3 years. That's the chestnut checkers mentality. We got to be able to think 5-6 moves ahead. So thinking in that way. We got to think, what's going to happen when these tech companies start going down? Because eventually it'll normalize. You know, tech companies, you can almost throw a dart at a tech company and make money, you know, over the last 6 months. But one day this is going to be over. Now, we got to start thinking ahead. Now, what's going to be next year? Now, think about the people that's getting into the White House, right? There's going to be Democrats. The Democrats are going to try to improve healthcare. So farmers, and we can think about this too, is that also, The vaccine has to go out there. The vaccine has to be distributed. All of these things have to happen in the next 6, 7, 8 months, right? So it may be a good opportunity to shift some of my money over to healthcare stocks, over to pharmaceuticals, over to healthcare, you know, processes and stuff like that. I already bought one, we bought one that actually worked out pretty good, but maybe it's time to move some of that money over to healthcare, move it over to some energy stocks, move it over to some pharmaceutical companies. And Novamax may be one that I'm very, very strongly thinking about moving some money into. I haven't made that decision either, right? But I will, and if I do, I'll post it on my Instagram. I'm still researching, still trying to figure out what my next move is on that, right? Bitcoin is something else that's, you know, that like I said, I've all of a sudden, you know, I told you guys this, you know, 7, 8 months ago. You know, I told you. I said, look, man, when Bitcoin blows up, and I got a post, scroll back on my profile, look at like 6 months ago. I said, when Bitcoin blows up, all these people are going to come out to woodwork because they're trying to jump on a trend, right? Because they feel like they can make some money by jumping on a trend, selling this, selling that, or whatever. You got to be very, very careful with those people, because where were they at? Where were they at 7 months ago, 8 months ago when Bitcoin was at 3,000? Nobody was around. I was talking about it because I knew what was coming. You got to be careful about somebody who's telling you what's happening today and didn't tell you what's coming tomorrow. And you got to be a mentor or whatever. If the dude's telling you what's happening today, but he can't tell you what's coming tomorrow. That he don't know enough of himself to know that. You guys know constantly, time and time again this year, I've told you what's coming tomorrow. I've told you what's coming next week. I've told you what's coming next month. I've told you what's coming next quarter. I've done it constantly and over and over and over. It's not one or two times. It's not three or four times. It's been 10, 15, 20 times. I've constantly predicted what was coming, right? And it's not like I put out a bunch of stocks and then some of them went good and I just talked about them. No, I've only put out a few things. And almost every single one has turned out okay or all right, right? So you got to be careful who you follow. You got to be careful who you, the people, somebody's telling you what's happening today, they don't know what's coming tomorrow, right? And I can tell you what's coming tomorrow. I'm telling you what's going to happen to Rod. I'm telling you what's coming with Peloton. I'm telling you what's going to happen with Bitcoin, exactly how it's going to play out. And I'm going to tell you right now. Now, that's why I don't understand why, you know, more people don't, there's a lot of people here tonight, but I don't understand how people miss Strategy Sunday. It's crazy, right? Because five Saturdays, Sundays in a row, I've told you something that's happening. Right, and people have made a lot of money the next day. And, you know, and people still don't show up. Like, you know, I guess it's a lot of people. I shouldn't say that. It's pretty good. So let's talk about what's coming with Bitcoin, right? Let's talk about exactly what's going to come with Bitcoin, exactly how this is going to play out, right? So Bitcoin went back to 19,000 this weekend, right? And now why did it go back to 19,000? Because retail people aren't buying it yet. And that's what's scary about Bitcoin, man, is that the retail interest, and we talked about market. Let's go back to talk about market cycles, right? Let's talk about market cycles. Well, in market cycles, right, what happens with market cycles is that there's the accumulation phase. And then we move into distribution. I'm sorry, we move into markup. Then we move into distribution, move into markdown. That's the cycle you see, right? So when a stock is low and stagnant, institutions get into it, right? And then once the institutions get their stakes in, the regular people start buying it, right? Then when regular people start buying it, distribution comes out. That's when the wild people buy it. Then they start, then those people start selling it, then it goes back down again, right? So with Bitcoin, the scary thing is that we're still technically in distribution phase. We're still technically in accumulation phase, technically right now. That means we're looking at a 5-10 time upside on Bitcoin right now from where it's at today. And a lot of people are saying 10 times. We're already at 20,000. What are you talking about? You guys haven't been in this like I have. You guys haven't been in Bitcoin like I have the last 10 years or so, right? 10 years ago, when I started Bitcoin, people were saying it'll never get to 1,000. That's crazy. It's only at 200 now. There's no way Bitcoin will ever pass 1,000. I remember having arguments about that. The first Bitcoins I ever bought were 120, right? I remember having arguments about to people about Bitcoin getting over 1,000. They thought that was crazy. That's a crazy number. That'll never happen, right? But now we're well past that, right? We're still 20 times past that. So Bitcoin will eventually, what's going to happen next year? Let's talk about it, right? Is that institutions are getting into a MicroStrategy, which is one of the major companies that is into Bitcoin, just announced they're going to acquire $650 million worth of Bitcoin. Right? All these institutions are buying it up on purpose. And somebody had a good question. You think these institutions will start advertising Bitcoin? They've already started. They've already started. His name is Phil the 357. Grayscale already has commercials talking about Bitcoin on TV. And some of you guys have already seen it. They already have them. They're already promoting it. We're at the end of the accumulation phase. We're moving into markup phase right now. Markup phase, you're talking about 10-time gains. 10 times at most. You know, and I'm not the only one saying this. Citibank said it. JP Morgan talks about it. Major banks have predicted this. $100,000 to $200,000 Bitcoin within 2 years. I'm not the only one. Everybody's talking about it. You guys may not heard about it, but everybody's talking about this. You know, all the institutions, the insiders, the elite already know. And that's what I try to teach you guys is that these people, that this is why people can't maintain, they can't grow wealth. Because like somebody said, they're out there watching football. They're not paying attention, not looking nothing up. You got to gain knowledge. You got to be part of stuff. You have to be in groups like the CNC or any other group. You have to go places. You have to meet people. Because how are you going to get new information in? And we talked about information coming in, changing your mind. But what if you don't get any new information? What if you're around the same people every single day, all the same information? You can't even grow as a person. You got to get around somebody that's outside, somebody that makes you uncomfortable, somebody that's outside of somebody you normally would hang around with, because that's how that new information comes in. Now, how are you going to get new information? You've been hanging around the same dudes from high school. How are you going to gain new information and the same people just talk all day, every day? You're stagnant, right? You got to find somebody that's outside of where, you know, how you do that back in the, before the pandemic, go to conferences. That's a great way. Go to conferences, man. Meet people. Force yourself to talk to people you normally wouldn't talk to. Force yourself to get around people you normally wouldn't have. Watch lives of people you normally wouldn't have watched a live about. Join a class you may have not never thought you want to get into. That's how that new information comes in. That's how you grow financially and as a person in general. Right? Bitcoin's, and people always come to me and says, Bitcoin a fad? Is it a scam? Is it a pyramid scheme? Now, you have to understand the history of this. Bitcoin's been around 12 years. Fads don't last 12 years. Pyramid schemes don't last 12 years. Use your common sense and think about it. 12 years? I'm telling you, man, all the signs are there, right? Now, I'm telling you guys whatever you guys may say, oh, man, this dude know everything. I'm just telling you basic stuff, right? Is that this is obviously going to happen. Bitcoin's obviously going to 100,000, obviously, right? And somebody has a question, will Bitcoin pass 20,000 before 2021? I don't know. But in the next 3 months, it will. I can guarantee you. And that's what's so crazy. Like, when it was at 3,000, I said, look, man, Bitcoin's going way up. I'd buy it. Nobody listened, right? Nobody listened. But now it's way up, right? Is that now I'm telling you again, Bitcoin's going to be at 100,000 in 2 years. Very few people are going to actually listen, right? But then it's going to be up there. Everybody's going to be shocked. Like, well, how did that happen? Oh, my God. You know, I didn't even see it happening. But you know how you didn't know? You know why you didn't know? Because you're around the same people that from high school, same people from your own hometown, hanging around family. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying you got to get somebody outside of that to bring in that new information. You got to do that. That's very, very important to keep your mind fluid, right? So let's move on. So I want to talk a little bit about debt, right? We got about 20 more minutes, but I want to talk a little bit about debt, right? So let me see. So let's talk a little bit about debt, right? Because I want to talk about it. I want to make sure we understand, because we can use debt to grow our wealth, right? But I want to make sure we go back to that concept of having a fluid mind, right? Because that's what very few people have that. Most people in general have a biased mind. They don't, like I said, we don't let in new information in. They don't want to get out of their comfort zones, but we want to, in the CNC and the mentorship and people who listen to me, I want to train you guys to have a fluid mind like that, to be able to accept new information, change your mind on the dime like that, right? And we want to talk about debt, man, because I want to talk about people's reaction to debt. I want to talk about how traditionally we see debt and how it's not almost, it's not true, right? Now, let's talk a little bit about, numbers, right? Let's talk about numbers, right? Because one of the most common questions I get in my classes, whether it's momentum strategy, trading classes or whatever, is that people always say, they always ask me, they want an objective number that they can look at to say, when this number hits that, you sell the stock. When this number hits this one, you buy the stock. When this number goes past this, you sell it. People are searching for these yes, no answers. These what's called a binary answer, right? That it's either yes or no, that's it, binary. 0 or 1, that's all it can be. They want a binary the thing that they want to live their life by binary decisions. When you do this, yes. When you do this, no. Yes, no, it doesn't. Life doesn't work that way. Most decisions financially are fluid and fuzzy, right? What does that mean? Fluid means that they change depending on the situation. Fuzzy means that the data is not like objective data. It's just probability, maybe, maybe not, or whatever. Most decisions are fluid and fuzzy, right? That's why you got to accept that. Is that most of your decisions, man, sometimes you make decisions, you don't even know if it's, you're never going to know if it's right or wrong. You just figure you do this, the best decision you could have made at the time, and you move on, right? But you have to understand, let me see something. But with debt, it's like that too, man. Like, you got to be like a jellyfish. It's a good way to put it, right? You got to take your punches and move on, right? But let's talk a little bit about debt in that, or that fuzzy and fluid mindset, right? Is that, like we said, people want objective numbers. They think the binary decision, yes, no, yes, no. But life's not like that, right? So I'm going to tell you, I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to show you how people think, right? So let's say I go, I go to a bank, right? I want a business loan. I go to the bank, fill out my paperwork. They give me the paperwork back. They say, look, man, you could take out a $50,000 loan, but it's an 18% interest rate. Now, who would take that? Who would take that loan? Let's see what everybody says. Who would take that loan? You got a $50,000 loan, 18%. So we got a lot of negatives. We got a lot of not me's, right? But that decision is also fluid, right? And that's what we got to understand is that an interest rates, and that's what I'm going to talk about more, interest rates can be that high and still be worth it, right? Let's say, I'm going to tell you guys, I want to tell a situation because I want you guys to be fluid because a lot of people are going to get the interest rate and reject it immediately because they've been trained that that's a high interest rate. There's no such thing as a high interest rate. It's high interest, not in general, for specific instances, yeah. But it could be one, a high interest rate for one thing could be also a low one for another thing. And I like those answers that say depends on your situation. Because let me put a situation, and to be honest, this is a very, very common situation that happens a lot. Let's say you got a, let's say there's a business out there that's making 25% return per year, right? The business is worth $50,000, right? So now you're making a deal. Let's say somebody just said you're making a deal where the return is 25% on your $50,000 and you know it's guaranteed, it's been worth, you know, let's say a dude is retiring from his business or whatever. Now, all of a sudden, it makes sense. You take that 50 from the bank, you put it right into the business if it's a passive income stream, and now you make the difference. You pay the 18% interest to the bank, the business is drawing 25 for you, you make money for doing nothing. Because you've used interest, you use debt to your advantage, right? That's why a lot of people instantly reject debt. And this, in most cases, that's right, but your mind has to stay fluid. Your mind has to stay fluid as opposed to debt can be good sometimes. Debt can be good sometimes, right? And that's what a lot of people don't, they preach debt, bad, debt is bad or whatever. Not always. In that situation, you just took money from the bank, you put it into this business, and now you got what you call it. Now you're making money, right? So somebody does put a good point, shop around for a lower interest rate. You should do that. I'm not saying you shouldn't. Well, if my credit's bad or nothing, that's the best I can get. But I'm just saying you should get the lowest interest rate possible on all things. But in that case, if that's all you can get and you know for sure that that business is there, that's a decision you should probably make, right? That's what I'm telling you is that everything is fluid depending on the situation, right? And a lot of people have these instant knee-jerk reactions to debt, instant knee-jerk reactions to this, but it's not always like that, right? But let's talk a little bit about good debt and bad debt, right? So there's two things, right, that's out there, good and bad debt. Good debt increase. All it means is that it's a debt that increases your net worth. Go back to that situation we talked about. We take that 50, we put it into a business, it's drawing 25%, we pay the bank back their 18%. So that business or passive income stream now increases our net worth. It increases our net worth, right? So that's a good debt now. I don't care what the interest rate is, it's still a good debt because we're making money doing that. It don't matter, right? So you can look for a lower interest rate later, and I'm not saying don't look for a lower interest rate. You should always do that, but that's still a good debt situation, right? Because even though it's a high interest rate, you're making more money on it than you're paying out on interest, right? Bad debt is when it lowers your net worth. The payments lower your net worth. That's all it is. It's good debt and bad debt. All debt's not bad, right? Cars, you know, stuff like that, yeah. So, and like I said, it's sometimes it's okay. Like somebody just put up my Escalade as a negative debt. But I'm saying, you can't live your whole life, you know, trying to live. Everything can't be like, you got to spend some money sometimes, right? Because you can't take it with us, right? You can't just build up wealth for no reason. There's a reason to build up debt. One day you got to buy stuff for yourself. What's the point of having $20 million? You don't have nothing. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying is that some debt is, you know, sometimes you're going to go into debt for some stuff. It's okay, you know, but whatever, you know, so you're not going to, I'm not in debt in that anyway. I don't buy my cars like that. I buy cash, I bought it cash. But the next one I'll probably, because the interest rates are a lot lower now than they were a few years ago. But back to what I was saying is that you got to spend the money sometimes. You can't just hold your money forever. So even that mindset there, that actually I'm glad he said that because that actually proved another point. is that that's another fluid situation. Is that it's not you like now? Yeah, you starting out. Yeah, reduce your debt as much as possible. Don't spend a lot of money. But eventually, one day, you got to spend it. What's the point? And we always say, I want to live in abundance. I don't want to live in scarcity. I don't want to live like all day eating noodles all day, even though I got $10 million in the bank or whatever I have, right? I'm not going to live like that, right? I'm going to live in abundance. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? It's a point to get wealthy. What's the point? The point is the generational wealth, help your kids out. But anything over that, what you going to do with it? You got to spend it, you know? You got to spend it. What you going to do with the money? That's the whole point, right? You need to enjoy your money, man. I'm saying you can't just save it forever. Right? So another question I get is that people talk a little bit about, you're not going to always make the best decisions. That's another thing you got to understand. You, like we talked about, most financial decisions are fluid and fuzzy, which means sometimes you may not make the best decisions. You got to accept that. You're not going to always make the best possible decision in every single case. It's impossible. Right, some decisions you're going to make bad, some are good, but the overall, that's what the chestnut checkers mentality is that overall, all of your decisions together is a good strategy, right? Each individual decision don't matter as much because we're building up to something little by little. So each little individual situation, a decision may not make as much difference within the whole strategy. That's what we're trying to build a strategy. These little decisions don't make as much. But like I said, we want to live in abundance. We don't want to just, you know, save all our money, then die with $10 million in the bank. That's stupid. Like some people do that, actually. That's stupid, right? But let's get back and talk about a little bit about how we can also make money on debt, right? Is that I get a lot of questions about investing on margin, right? A lot of people ask me about margin because, you know, Robinhood has like 3x margin, right? And people don't understand how margin works. It's pretty simple, right? Is that if I got $1,000, right? I got $1,000 in my Robinhood. I don't know what Robinhood's criteria is, but I'm just going to explain it like what would happen. So let's say I got $1,000 in Robinhood. I apply for Robinhood Gold. They give you 3x margin. Now, why would you have margin? What's the point of margin? I'm going to tell you why. It's because if I put that, I don't know if you can do options on margin in Robinhood, so I don't know. Let's say you bought Apple stock, right, and you thought it was going to double. You only had $1,000. So if you put that $1,000 in the Apple stock, it doubled, you get $2,000. But if you take that margin out, Robinhood will loan you $2,000 to trade your stocks with. So now you got $3,000, right? So if I get $3,000 in there, the stock doubles, I got $6,000. So if I pay Robinhood back, I still got $4,000. You see what I'm saying? Because I got to pay Robinhood back that two plus a little interest. Instead of making $2,000, I made $4,000 out of the initial $1,000 investment. So instead of doubling my money, I quadrupled my money because that margin gave me more leverage to be able to make more money. That's another way that debt can help you, right? Through margins. And that's debt. So when you buy it, you're actually in debt, right? Right there, you're in debt. But that debt is helping you build wealth in the right case, right? That's another way we can use debt to build wealth, right? So in some places you can. I use margin on options before, but they restricted to certain options. They won't let you do it on all of them in E-Trade. But debt in some cases, like I said, can work for you. And we talk about that a lot in the mentorship, in the Chestnut Checkers community, is that debt can help you. Debt is actually good, right? So bad debt kills you. Student loan is actually a type of, it's maybe a, I think it was a good debt because, like I said, my student loan, I paid it off, but my student loan helped me get to where I'm at today. Without that student loan, I couldn't have went to college. So I still consider that student loan a good debt because it actually pulled me out of where I was at the time, right? It was too expensive. And I don't like the terms and I don't like how they taught. They didn't teach us about the debts. Like I'm 18 years old. I'm going to school. I'm signing. I just got to sign a paper, get $5,000. Of course, I'm going to max it out. I'm 18 years old, man. 19 years old. And I max out all my loans, right? And then all of a sudden, you got to pay it off. And I'm like, man, to be honest, at the time, you got to remember, I was a different man than I was when I was 18, right? I was a kid. You know, I just came, you know, I didn't even think I was going to finish college. The day I started college, I didn't think I was going to finish. I was like, man, I ain't going to finish this, man. You know, I'm just going to go because I really, you know, everybody else going and stuff. I didn't even think I'd finish, right? So I go to college, man, and then they said you could just sign this paper and get these loans. Nobody told me. I thought I wouldn't have to pay them back because I actually took out a credit card that year. I never paid that credit card back. You know, when you, it used to be when you went to college, it had these credit card tables set up, and you just automatically get credit cards. But I took out $1,500 in debt, never paid it back. Because I just didn't know. I didn't understand, you know, finances and credit and stuff. Huh? And I took out all them student loans. I didn't think I was going to pay it back. And I had a friend that said the same thing. He said, I didn't think I'd have to pay that back. Or either it seemed like it was so far off at 18. I'm not paying. You didn't really understand it. And nobody told me that you couldn't get away from that debt. Nobody told me how hard it was. Nobody told me about the interest. I didn't understand any of that. They just, you walk in the student loan office, they just pass you stuff and you sign it. I didn't know. And I maxed out $70,000. And like I said, I probably shouldn't have took out that much, but to be honest, it did, you know, that is a good debt. It did help me get where I'm at, right? Yeah, they you don't understand it. And I think that the student loan system should be like it is today. You know, it should offer loans to students, but they should make you go through a class, man. They should get it into your head that you got to pay these back. And as you can, even bankruptcy won't get rid of them, right? And then you'd understand it more. Nobody told me all this stuff. I didn't understand it. Right? I was taking out loans I didn't even have to take out, man, just to have money. You know, I didn't understand it. They shouldn't, you know, they actually give you too many loans, to be honest, man. They should just give you enough loans to cover school and maybe the dorm or whatever. And that's it. Make you work for everything else, you know. But that's, you know, that's how I believe about that, right? So with all that being said, I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks for joining. And have a sleep well tonight.